Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Show on a Wednesday, a Wendy's Wednesday. How about that? Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler in here about 2:30. I'm Baby Tausch with you at 414-799-1250. The Polish Pipe Bomb, Jeff Orlowski, and intern Joel on the other side, whose car is all set to go. He missed, what was that, Monday because of the little fender bender? Last week
last
was that?
Last week it was, yeah.
Last week's good, Joel. Glad you're in here. Maybe get something new. Maybe Gary could get you into something new at Hyundai West Dallas. He'll tell you about that later on today. Boys, 414-799-1250, the phone number people can reach us at, live at 1057fmthefan.com. Twitter and Facebook, 1057fmthefan. Tomorrow at 1057fmthefan on Twitter, it's hashtag big throwback, and it sticks tomorrow. And KS just got into my DMs about it. It is going to be a loaded up playlist tomorrow, so people are going to be juiced up to hear from Sticks and watch some Marquette basketball tonight, Sparky. Back in action, 11th-ranked Marquette hosts the Butler Bulldogs. Former UWM head coach Lavelle Jordan back in town. There's Duke UNC, and I don't know if anybody... We all know R.J. Barrett. We know Zion Williamson.
Maybe later on the docket, ask your question.
Yeah, for sure.
Is Butler still relevant as a basketball team?
As relevant as the Big East is now. I mean, like the Big East isn't obviously what it was, but
right.
Yeah, I would definitely think so. I would think so.
Bigger game tonight, Butler Marquette or North Carolina Duke? Hold on to that. We'll get back to it.
We'll get into that. 3:35. Also, some Brewers talk all day long.
Look at Steve.
Well, I don't care about North Carolina Duke, so I guess it would be Butler Marquette.
Well, I didn't want you to tell us that. But
oh, sorry. Sorry.
Trying to hold on to it.
We'll get Adam McCalvey in here, 248. Brewers in camp. Everybody there, especially Mike Moustakas involved. Brought in 1 year, $10 million, $7 million guaranteed, and then a three-year buyout for an $11 million option for next year for Mike Moustakas if he wants to come back with the Brewers. And Sparky, there's more players that are available, and there's more arms that could be available for a Brewers staff that could be bolstered still substantially from the team that was a game away from the World Series a year ago. And we're looking on and counting on additions from players that had down years last year in a Zach Davies or Chase Anderson, or players that didn't even appear last year in Jimmy Nelson, when Craig Counsell talks earlier today that Jimmy's going to start seeing some live hitting. When it's only money, and your owner yesterday says, if we need more money, talking about mid-season trades, we'll have more money.
We'll find it.
Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell, two of the top arms still available in free agency, two of the top arms going into MLB free agency this year, still available. Dallas Keuchel, a Cy Young Award-winning starting pitcher, and Craig Kimbrell, widely regarded as one of the top closers in the last decade and a half, two decades, of Major League Baseball. Well on his way to 500 career saves, and right now he sits at in that number with 25 last or projected from this year and 42 last year. He has 333 saves in his career as a dynamic closer at the back end of a bullpen that was already the best in baseball last year. If you were going to get one of these pitchers for the Milwaukee Brewers, is it Keuchel or Kimbrell for you? And you at 414-799-1250.
So one's a closer.
One is a closer.
Okay.
Right-handed, Craig right. Kimbrell, long beard. Played in the World Series last year.
And the other one's a starter.
Dallas Keuchel, left-hander, long beard, played in the World Series 2 years ago.
Okay.
Both of these with World Series pedigrees.
Mm-hmm. Both of them with World Series pedigrees. Kimbrell, 30 years old. So he's not that old. by that determination. But he does want a bunch of money, and obviously nobody's going to give him a bunch of money that he is seeking, at least not at this point, as everybody waits for Bryce Harper to sign.
He came into free agency this year, guys, saying he wanted 6 years at $110 million.
That's cute.
Who did?
Kimbrell. Craig Kimbrell.
Yeah. Okay. And Keuchel wanted a bunch of money, too, and they both sit and wait. Now, if you look at ERAs, Gary, for Keuchel, 2.74 last year, 1.43 the year before that. He had 42 saves last year, 35 saves the year before that. Now, is he removed from the dominant days of how he was when he was 24 and 25 in Atlanta when he had 1.2 ERA, 1.01 ERA, 50 saves, 47 saves? Is he removed from that? Yes. Does he still get the job done when needed? Yeah, I think he does still get the job done when needed for the most part. And then there's that whole notion of, you know, you need that front-line pitcher if you're going to get serious about this Brewers. And the owner of the Brewers joked that their pitching staff is always the Rodney Dangerfield of pitching staffs in baseball because nobody ever gives them any respect before the season starts. And then you look at last year and it seemingly got all done without him. The Brewers' back end of their bullpen is really, really good right now. If you want to talk about how this whole thing lines up, Corey Knebel, who was off a little bit last year, went down to the minors, fixed himself, and was as dominant as ever when they called him back up. Jeremy Jeffress, as usual in a Brewers uniform, pitch as well. And then, of course, you have Josh Hader, who's been dominant, maybe more dominant than anybody in baseball last year. So do you need Kimbrel at the back end of the bullpen? Do you need him? No, you don't need him. But you're talking about having, instead of a three-man deal at the end of games, you would have a four-man deal at the end of games where the rest of the bullpen really wouldn't matter outside of games that got away from you. Either you are, you know, way down, then it matters. But other than that, between four guys, you can rotate guys on and off and always have it probably one or two dominant guys to close the game on a given day. If Knebel's the closer or if this guy's the closer, it all works. Having said all of that, I'm going Dallas Keuchel. I want that starter at the front with Jimmy Nelson. I think it's a big deal. I know what they did last year, but I don't trust Davies. I don't trust Chase Anderson, and they're bound and determined to go with these two guys.
Now, is all this – this is a wish list for you, right?
These are two guys that are still out there.
Yeah.
And we have not heard Mark Attanasio say, I'm done spending money.
Well, explain this to me.
Mark hasn't said, yeah, we're done. I got no more money like the Cubs owner did.
Right.
So from that aspect – yeah, I'm thinking anybody still in play, if they can get him on a short-term deal. And listening this morning, MLB Network Radio, they're convinced Kimbrel's going to end up with a one- or a two-year deal before this is all said and done. Brewers can play ball in that one- or two-year deal.
Not all
they can do that. Now, they aren't going to do 5-6 years. That's right. Not happening.
Well, they're all over one or two.
So if somebody offers Kimbrel or a Keuchel a six-year deal or something.
They're out.
Yeah.
Well, explain this to me, Steve, real quick, because it feels like a wish list. And maybe I'm reading this wrong, but – there was a tweet, I think it's from Adam McCalvey, but a lot of other people just stepped on and retweeted, so I'm thinking this is where it's from. But the Brewers are way into record payroll territory.
Yep.
And the question is whether that will hamstring them come trade season in July. Mark Attanasio says, the chips are all in now. We find the money at midseason if we need to.
That's right.
So, sounds like they're done.
No, they're going for it.
Well, no. Sounds like they're done now.
I don't think they are.
But we'll see. I'm just, well, that's why I asked you, I see, well, I mean, I'm sure you read the tweet and you probably saw it yesterday.
Yeah.
Because it feels like to me by reading that they're done because they are way into record payroll territory.
Of course. We knew this.
This is the highest payroll that they have had in franchise history.
Like $20 million.
Yeah, and the question is whether that will hamstring them come trade season?
And it's funny because I saw people tweeting at Harder Court. So what's the budget then? Because Tom was asked about the Dallas Keuchel. He said, no, not happening. So then people are like, oh, so what's the budget then? Where's the end number? Well, he couldn't answer it.
Well, we don't know.
Because he doesn't know.
I don't think anybody. So they know, but we don't. Yeah,
the Brewers do, right. Yes. But nobody else knows that I know of. I haven't seen anybody else come out and say, hey, their number is 135. They can't go over it or they're dead. Nobody has said anything. Because I guarantee before the season started, if you would have went to them and said, hey, they're going to get Grandal at 1 year at $17 million, I bet you Adam and Tom both would have said, not happening. They don't have the money. There's just no way. They're going to go above and beyond.
Do you think? Oh, yeah, because they got to go over it. All right. So, to answer your question, you want the starter.
Keuchel or Kimbrell, I'll take Keuchel. But again,
you want the starter.
I'm prefacing this by saying I'm not doing 5 and 6 year deals for either one of these jokers.
Great.
But if it's a short-term deal, which is I think the only way the Brewers can be in play. And remember, when Boris is involved, all it is calling Mark. Hey, Mark, so my dude's still sitting out here. Can you give me a one-year deal at X? Can we make that work? And Mark probably goes to Stearns and says, what do you think? And Stearns goes, it's your money. You want to do it, we'll take him, sure. And presto, there we go.
So with that being said, what you just said, and I totally agree with you, the Brewers are going to take the cheapest way out. And whichever one of those guys are the cheapest one that they can get.
Kimbrell would be less
under control. That's what they're going to do. Now, but you asking me, though, if you ask me the question, which one I want.
Right.
Would you want the starter or the closer?
Yeah, I mean, if you're asking me that, I mean, I agree with you, Steve. They need a front. I mean, we don't know. They're banking on Jimmy Nelson. We don't know what Jimmy Nelson's going to be.
Neither do they.
We don't. I mean, they don't know. I mean, no one knows. Jimmy doesn't even know. So, yeah, it's a starter all day long. But if you really think the Brewers are still kicking tires, if you think the Brewers are still looking for a deal, which they are, a deal that will satisfy them, they are in on that. It will be the lesser of these two guys if they're still there. I think that's how that's going to wash out.
Do you think that David Stearns in these discussions, if the discussion is Keuchel or Kimbrel, if he's a starting pitcher at 31 years old whose velocity has started to drop after last year, or Craig Kimbrel who
they're not
struggled
doing that joke for 5-6 years.
Real late in the playoffs, was taken out of some of the closing situations that the Red Sox had down the stretch because there were tipping pitches, conversations, whatever, around him. Does he look towards a bullpen arm to then allow for the youth of a Corbin Burns or a Freddie Peralta, Sparky,
that's a setup anyway,
to then go into the starting rotation?
But that's a setup anyway.
Because right now it doesn't look like they're going to do that.
Right, but that is the Brewers setup. What you just said is the Brewers setup anyway. Right? You have a starting rotation with a bunch of guys that if you can only give me 4, I got other guys to fill in. I mean, that seemed to be the Brewers' way anyway, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is, but that's the other thing about this is if you add Dallas Keuchel and they're not going to get Chase or Zach Davies apparently out of this rotation,
right,
that means Woodruff then goes to the bullpen.
Sure.
Which means now you're back to how it was last year.
Sure.
Woodruff, Burns, and Peralta are all in the bullpen, and then you can go back to playing 4 or 5-inning ball again.
Sure.
To where these guys come in, throw 3 innings at a time, and then you still have that back end set back there if you were to get a Keuchel to put into the rotation. But I'll take it a step further. I think that's not the question, but there's another guy that's out there too that I guarantee you is going to go cheap. Gio Gonzalez, who was in this rotation too last year in the second half.
Yeah.
He's going to go cheap. They could plug him into the rotation, move Woodruff into the bullpen, have all three of those young arms in the bullpen all year long, and be able to be guys that could go in and sulk up multiple innings. And Gio Gonzalez is going to go far cheaper than Keuchel or Kimbrel at this point. I'm not a big Gio Gonzalez guy going through this again with him. I think he caught lightning in a bottle a little bit last year, and that was great, just like Wade Miley to a certain degree. But I mean, that could be something too, that if they don't want to spend any more money or not a lot of money, like you said, Gio Gonzalez would work. You put him into that rotation, and then Woodruff goes back to the pen.
Is everybody reported to spring training?
Yeah.
Yeah.
First full squad workout was yesterday.
So everybody's there.
Including Moustakas was there talking to the media yesterday.
So was he just like hanging out in his Airbnb like a couple miles away, just waiting on a call?
Yeah. Well, no, not Airbnb. One of his boys' house. Or maybe he's
He could have just been staying with Brawny.
Yeah.
Good point.
Brawny.
I got a guest room, man. It's all good. JJ Contractors put it in for me.
Yeah. Do you want me to hit that now? Can I ask you a question?
Hit that now. Can you save your question or are you going to forget it?
I might forget it. I think I've
already. Okay. Why don't you ask me the question?
I think it's gone already.
It is?
Already gone.
Okay. Well, J&J Contractors then. I'm sorry I robbed
That was going to be pretty good.
I robbed Milwaukee of that great question.
Maybe to come back.
Hey, if it does, take this pen. Then
J&J are the people that put the windows in for you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well.
J&J Contractors.
J&J Contractors.
Man,
you're looking for something to do the interior. We'll talk about it later off here. J&J Contractors, you're looking for something to do for the interior of your house, right? The interior?
Yes.
Okay.
I added a guest room that Mike Moustakas could stay in.
My good friends at J&J Contractors do the guest room for you. And Matt Moustakas probably need a bathroom down there. You want a private bathroom for
him? Yeah, I want a bathroom because I want him coming in and showering in my bathroom.
Right. So you want a new bathroom for him down there when you had it for Jay, you know, my good friends at J&J come down and do that too. If you're looking for new kitchen, countertops, cabinets, J&J Contract.
We should find that out. What? What's the one room do they do the most remodeling in?
I bet you, I would say kitchen.
That was my thought.
Everybody.
Definitely kitchen.
When people come to your house, everybody congregates in the kitchen.
And that's like one of the number one things when you go to buy a house, people want to see what the kitchen looks like.
Well, it also costs the most probably to renovate,
and
right?
Layout.
Well, it all depends. I got to watch all these fixer-upper shows that they have, you know. Every kitchen's like 20 to 30 grand.
The kitchen is, and they want to knock walls out.
I finally started getting why you watch those shows, man.
Dude, I love those shows.
Those are great shows.
Love them.
But I shouldn't enjoy them as a 24-year-old dude. I should be watching something else.
No, because I think you're looking down
or something.
See, you're looking down the road. This is what I want. This is how I want it. And you know what it looks like. I like that. Call my good friends up at J&J Contractors, and they can fix up the house of your dreams, which you are not currently living in, and they can make it into a beautiful dream home when you want to update some of the things that you have in your house. Call them right now, J&J Contractors, and ask for Jason.
You're right, Gary. I'm a forward thinker.
You're a forward
That's
thinker,
why I'm
bro.
Telling everybody that we have Adam McAlvey coming up at 2:48. We're back well before that. It's the Wendy's Big Show, and you can join the conversation right now at 414-799-1250. This is Tesla. This is 105.7 FM, The Fan. Jeff Orlowski behind the glass of the Wendy's Big Show today. Gary Ellerson, former Badger Packer running back. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, inventor of the Lambeau Leap. Leroy Butler joining us in a mere matter of moments. And I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch. And you're here at 414-799-1250 if you want to be. If you want to have your voice heard on the Wendy's Big Show. But we know you do. That's why people are always tweeting at The Fan and hitting us up on Facebook. It's all 105.7 FM, The Fan. Live at 1057fmthefan.com is the Wendy's Fresh Never Frozen inbox. And Gary, asking the question right now on the table of would you rather have Craig Kimbrell, a established multiple-time all-star veteran closer, World Series champion, or Dallas Keuchel, World Series champion, Cy Young Award winner, both with really impressive beards. I mean, I think of that when I'm watching pitching. And seemingly, on social media, it's completely split right down the middle, Sparky. People do not have a difference in, like, one way or another substantially on one side of this or the other. It's just, I want the arm.
Yeah, I don't know, man. From what I'm seeing, at least on the Fan account, I mean, I guess it is kind of split. The people who are saying Keuchel don't seem to be getting in great detail for Keuchel. It's Keuchel,
right.
Keuchel,
it's just
for
like,
sure.
I want the starter.
Right, but the Kimbrel guys seem to be getting a little bit more in-depth on why they want Kimbrel. KJ says, Kimbrel, don't need, I don't know what that is. Keuchel wants too much money. Well, it says don't need M, period. I don't know what that means. Keuchel wants too much money. Ugh, don't need him either. Find a real second baseman, please. That's it for me. And then there's a couple other ones saying, get a second baseman. They've got a second baseman. And they're going to be fine, so everybody can just relax. Kale tweets out 105.7 FM, The Fan. Give me Kimbrel just for the fact that Keuchel's fastball velocity is dwindling and our bullpen would be straight dominant, says Kale, tweeting out 105.7 FM, The Fan. How much did you put into that his fastball apparently is around 89, 90 miles an hour?
I don't love it because when you're 6'3", 200 pounds, and you're a 31-year-old starter, and if your fastball is starting to go at 30 years old,
well,
you're really going to have to learn how to work your other stuff in your off-speed pitches.
In his eater. That's what he becomes.
Well, you need more
those guys.
Yeah, but if you're going to pay him all that money, you can't even be Supon.
Right.
You might. Wolf. You don't know. In his eater. That's what he becomes.
Anybody's got to be better than Randy Wolf.
That's what happens.
Please.
Well, right. I agree, but those are innings eaters. That's what Tim wanted back in the day.
That's what he is. That's what he becomes if he's doing that.
But right now he's not. Right now he is still Cy Young Award worthy.
Here's what the Brewers are doing right now. And that's why I asked you if is everybody there? Here's what they're doing. They're out there and they're watching. They're looking. And they're trying to figure out what's what. And who are they watching the most? Jimmy Nelson.
I think
all this stuff, these pitching, whoever we talk about, revolves around Jimmy Nelson.
So they are throwing in that to that point, they're throwing Jimmy Nelson against live pitching or live hitting sooner than their other starters. And I believe they're going for another tour of it before they actually get him into a game action. They want to see how he reacts in a controlled sense.
And that dictates to them where they go and what they do. I don't have any inside information.
Makes sense to me, though.
Just
if they think Jimmy Nelson's farther away from being where they want him to be, then they are more aggressive to get Gonzalez or Keuchel or somebody like that. If he looks better than they thought and they think he's fine, then maybe they say, no, we're good. Mm-hmm. We'll go another direction.
Because they thought that he would be able to come in right now, not necessarily ready to go, but because he set out all last year. Their whole goal was this year after they figured out he wasn't going to be. And they thought, okay, he's going to hit the ground running doing spring training. That's what he should be.
Right.
Because we gave him all the rest. Because, listen, there's not any more rest you can get. Either he's going to get right or he's not going to get right now at this point. You were gone all last year, dude.
They've been out for 18 months.
Right. You've done everything that in your human power you most possibly can do to be right. And if he's not right now, he's not going to.
Man, he looks good. When I saw him at the On Deck event, he looks better than he has.
He always looks good.
Wait, did
he go to Alabama?
It's puzzling, man. Yeah, he's Tuscaloosa guy. Now, for me, I'd rather go with a bullpen guy just because there's less pressure on him on a fixed day like the starting pitcher, but I also think that you can throw guys and get more wins out of them, similar to how you do with Josh Hader. Mm-hmm. Last year, the two starting pitchers that went this long, that took a long time to sign, were Yu Darvish and Jake Arrieta.
One worked, one didn't.
Really, not either of them did. I mean, I don't know if you're the Phillies and you saw a 3.96 ERA and a 10-11 record out of Arrieta, you thought that was working for $25
million. I don't know, man. Ball jumps in Philly. And it would have been maybe very similar what it would have happened in Miller Park. He might have had an ERA around 4 in Miller Park, too. But he was more available than Yu Darvish was. I mean, that was a complete disaster in Chicago. And then you look at what their rotation is now. If they can stay healthy in that rotation, Cubs' rotation is going to be really, really good. If they can stay healthy. And that's the big question mark. Whereas the Brewers' depth rotation, you don't worry about that as much, right? Okay, so let's say Chase Anderson gets hurt. Okay, Corbin Burns here in the rotation. Let's say Davies then gets hurt. They both go down. Okay, Woodruff, you're now in the rotation if you weren't before. Or Peralta, you're now in the rotation if you weren't before. It's not end-of-the-world stuff if they start losing guys. And because you don't have a true number one, unless you believe Chacin is, which I don't. But unless you think Chacin is a true number one, it really isn't end-of-the-world stuff. Versus if you have a true dominant ace that you're paying $25 million a year to, he's that much better than the rest of your rotation. He goes down, and then now the best guy you have to fill in is arguably a sixth man in a rotation. That's a much bigger hit, I think, to a team than the way they have it now, Gary, where it seemingly is every piece is replaceable with the young guys that you have waiting to come into the rotation, or they might be even better talent-wise than what you're replacing.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, you're right. They might be, I think once you look at the Brewers, it's I think they did a good job last year, and I don't want to say would it be fair to use the word patching this thing together, the rotation and just everything
to an extent, but
right?
It's
I mean there was a science to it,
right? But like
you do a disservice when you say patching
because
but
like I think that what, you're grabbing
puzzle.
Dudes off
it,
the street
it was a
to
puzzle,
throw in.
But they did a great job. Mm-hmm. We'll see if Craig can do that again. And that to me, you should have got manager of the year, man. People don't. And I'm sure they do, but it's just me. I just don't think you just can't. People don't understand how difficult that is to do. How to coach that, to be on like that, and get to where they got without a real true frontline starter.
Well, and I heard Adam McAlvey earlier this week discussing that some Brewers players made it known that. With Craig and the rest of the coaching staff, whatever we do at second base, if it's going to be Moose, let's go Moose. If it's going to be Travis Shaw, let's go Travis Shaw and stick with it. Let's not mess this thing around. And every third day, Moose is playing over on the left side of the infield. A couple days, he's playing on the right. Agreed. One day, he's not playing. Then it's Aaron Perez over there. And then we got Spangenberg playing third base. If this is what we're going to go with, these are the guys we're going to ride with, let's ride with that lineup and let's try to go and get a ring.
I think that's the best way to go about it.
That's not going to happen.
I'd much rather.
He says no chance.
They're going to do exactly what you just said.
Stevie's face was priceless. He just looks at you. The blank stare of a puppy.
Come
on, man. Really?
Not going to happen.
Makes all the sense in the world to do this.
Not
just to do what he just got done telling you.
And
to Aguilar,
and then
Moustakas, Arcia, and Shaw. And
not going to happen.
Well, maybe not at first base, so Eric Thames can get his at-bats.
Not going to happen, and which is okay. And then Steve will bitch about it all year long, and next thing you know, they're in the World Series doing it that way.
Oh, he's going to give guys days off. But I don't want the. I don't mind if Moustakas is off and Perez is playing at second. What I don't want is what Billy said, which is they're moving guys all over the infield. Shaw's playing first base a couple of days. Moustakas is back at third. Then we're moving Moustakas back to second.
That,
and that
like
type
that.
Of stuff,
it's gonna happen.
That I don't want.
It's
I don't mind
happen.
Giving guys days off, but this moving guys all over the place.
It's going to happen.
Did you say they end up in the World Series?
Yeah. They'll do all this stuff y'all talk. Lineup's going to come out. Steve's going to blow a gasket. And next thing you know, they're in the World Series.
Pretty hard to
like
screw
that.
This up. But I'll be honest with you. It's pretty hard to screw this lineup up. I mean, one through seven without Arcia, they got a lot of talent.
Are you saying they're going to the World Series?
I'm just saying this is probably what could happen. I mean,
okay,
you know, because,
okay.
Because in baseball, what do? Overreact. About the lineup. About this,
sure.
About that, but because there's so many moving parts for the Milwaukee Brewers, there's nothing kind of like really etched and set in stone. You can second guess them, third guess them, fifth, every single how many games they play?
162 of them.
You can second guess them for 162 games.
Way too many.
Every day.
Oh, not too
you
many.
Can.
Those games is way too long.
They could play the another 100. And it'd
the
be awesome.
NBA season is too long. And the MLB season is too long. NHL, I don't follow, but that's too long, too. All three of them don't need to be as long as they are. They just don't. It makes absolutely no sense. Well, it does from an owner's perspective. Milk the fans as much money as possible.
And from a sports talk radio standpoint. These last 3 days that there hasn't been any NBA has been brutal. Since the All-Star game?
Yeah.
Like, if there's not action every day, if there's not games on every day, and I can't open up the Bovada account and, like, not be able to do anything, like, it's awful. It's horrible.
Now that we came back to the real story. This has nothing to do with his job or what we do.
Oh,
this has to do with his gambling addiction.
It has something to do with our job. It has mostly to do with our job. Some of it.
Gambling addiction.
Marquette back tonight, and they've been a covering machine.
Yeah, they have been.
Covering machine. We'll talk about that a little bit next as they take on Butler and Adam McCalvey. Standing by in Arizona, joins us in 15 minutes. It's Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. We're hot. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. Gary Ellerson, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Baby Tausch, Joel, Jeff Orlowski on the other side. And Marquette basketball back at Fiserv Forum tonight and back at the pocketbooks as Marquette is a covering machine lately. 11th ranked in the country, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. And consensus Big East player of the year? I know you guys kind of laughed at me when I brought up that he could win National Player of the Year.
Yeah.
But he's got to be in the front runner for Big East Player of the Year, Marcus Howard.
Yeah, I'm with you, sure. Yep, I don't have any doubt about that. I think this Marquette team is going to be fun to watch in the tournament. Once you get to that point, providing they can stay healthy and the Hauser brothers show up and play like they're capable of playing in the tournament.
True.
I mean, that other game, they weren't anywhere to be seen in that other game that they lost. And they had to have them. They're just instrumental pieces in this whole deal. You know, Marcus Howard's going to do whatever he does. Theo John's going to block shots and rebound and do what he does inside. But if the Hauser brothers aren't playing at a pretty decent high clip, they're a team that can be beat. And they could get beat in the second or third round of the NCAA tournament before it's all said and done. If everybody's clicking on this on the same page here and everybody's doing it the right way, they might be able to make a run to the Elite Eight. God forbid I say Final Four, but they've got all the pieces, I think, to be able to do it. As long as Wojo does what he's supposed to do with the X's and O's and coaches them up, I think they got every chance to be a Final Four.
I'm expecting them to be a Sweet 16 team. And like you said, when you can shoot the ball like that, you can just about beat anybody in that tournament.
If both Hauser brothers are playing well. That's the biggest thing, because they really help them create space more so than anybody else. And you got a couple of those other guys that can do their thing too, but really the Hauser brothers are going to be the ones that really are going to control how far these guys are going to go.
Gary, 8 o'clock tonight, sat in front of CBS Sports Network to watch Marquette Butler.
Does anybody watch CBS Sports Network in general?
What time do they play?
8 o'clock.
Okay, what you asking me?
You're ready to rock and roll for Marquette Butler tonight, right? 8 o'clock. There's nothing else that you're going to be watching, right?
What time do Duke and North Carolina play?
8 o'clock. He sits up in his chair, grimaces, leans into the microphone.
Well,
scratches the back of his head.
Cause I'm a Marquette season ticket holder. How good is Butler? They ain't good.
11-15, 6-7 in conference. They're middle of the road, Big East team.
And Marquette's ranked, what, are they 4?
11 right now.
Oh, they're 11?
Tied atop of the Big East.
Okay. Duke ranked.
Duke is the number one team in the country, yes, at 23-2.
North Carolina?
North Carolina comes in at 8 at 20-5.
Let me just say this to say that. Let's just say Wisconsin was playing Marquette tonight.
I don't care who the Badgers and Marquette are playing. I'd rather watch them play than watch Duke and North Carolina.
Let's just say Wisconsin was playing Marquette tonight.
We're playing UWM.
And if I didn't have tickets to actually go to the game, so that means I had to watch it on TV,
mm-hmm.
I'd be watching Duke and North Carolina. And I'll be watching Duke and North Carolina tonight. I mean, I don't know how you don't. I mean, Steve is a special person. I already know that.
Dude, I'm so sick of that rivalry. Seriously.
He's special.
Who cares? Duke's winning the national title. Let's move on.
Special person.
Let's move on with their lives.
I just can't get enough of this Zion kid.
Yeah, that's okay.
RJ Barrett.
The Duke
kid.
Team is special team. That's why I said they're going to win the whole thing.
Who's the other kid? They got one more. Five. The other kid.
Yeah, like three or four first-rounders on that team.
And the 1-4, Duke, North Carolina, all that.
So that part of it still carries weight for you.
Carries a lot of weight.
Duke, North Carolina rivalry, yeah. Mike Krzyzewski, Roy Williams.
Let me just say, I went to the Wisconsin Marquette game at Five Serve down here.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody won't talk about, like, that's a rivalry and stuff.
Oh, it is.
It's not. It's not. Not. It's not. It's not. It's not.
Oh, you weren't in the same parking structure I was that game.
It's not. It's not.
Woo.
It's not. Mm. Go to a Duke, North Carolina game. They ain't even in the same building, cuz.
But, like, you could make that suggestion if you're talking about, like, Wisconsin, Minnesota, if you go to Ohio State, Michigan.
Right.
Like,
true.
Okay.
True.
So you're saying that. So
absolutely.
Okay.
Totally true. You're absolutely right. It ain't even in the same building. It's just not.
No. So this would be like Packers Lions to you instead of like Packers Bears?
Like you're right, like, yeah. I mean, we play them twice a year. I mean, they're in our conference. We play them like over 100 years. Yeah. Wisconsin Marquette is not even in the same building as Duke. No, it's just not. I'm just sorry. And now you got Duke, and that's why I made that. Now you got Duke playing North Carolina. You got Marquette playing Butler. Are you kidding me? Butler? Now, maybe Butler, back when Butler was doing something, that raises it a little bit. But I'm just keeping it straight 100.
That's all we ask you to do.
Being honest.
Yeah, being
honest. Trying to keep 100.
I'm glad you did. I appreciate it.
But, I mean, maybe I'll flip back and forth.
DVR, you know,
I'm hoping Marquette blow them out.
I think they will. 6.5.
I have to watch a little bit of it. I mean, I just have to. But it's Duke, North Carolina for me.
Yeah, I'm DVRing both of these things, so then I can just skip through all the halftime shows.
That'd be probably the best
way
to go. I think I may just do that.
Run through. Have you done it where you just watch it in the morning? You DVR and just don't think about it at all?
Yeah, so I tape it downstairs in my basement, and then I work out on the bike. I get on the bike, and then I'll watch the game. So that's what I'll probably do tomorrow morning.
Because those Brooklinen sheets are just calling me to bed almost every night at like 7 o'clock. I might not even be awake for these games.
I could see that. You want to sleep early?
Yeah, like because I just lay down.
You work too hard.
Done. I'm done.
Done.
I'm out. Done.
I think the North Carolina Duke game obviously is the huge national draw, and I get why everybody wants to watch Duke because of Williamson, Barrett, and Reddish. Those three guys are obviously really, really good, and it's Duke, North Carolina, and all that. Like our general manager's North Carolina guy, so you know he's going to be all about it. He'll be on pins and needles.
Thought about wearing my Duke shirt.
and he'll get fired. I don't think that's a good idea.
It was a really bad idea.
But from that perspective, I get it, and I understand why you'd want to watch it. But I'd rather still always watch Marquette or Wisconsin than watch those two teams play, personally, just because I've had my fill of that rivalry. And as we've talked about lots of times, the regular season doesn't mean much in college basketball. It just doesn't. Until you get to the conference tournaments and the tournaments and we start talking about seeding, then we really see. Because if North Carolina gets blown out by Duke, that means nothing. Because come tournament time, if North Carolina beats Duke, that's all anybody's going to remember. Nobody's going to remember this basketball game at all. And if Duke blows out North Carolina and North Carolina upsets them in the tournament, that's all anybody's going to remember too.
Yeah, really the one that they're going to remember out of this year is going to be when they meet up in the ACC tournament, if they
or
do.
In the NCAA tournament.
Or in the NCAA, yep.
Right? I mean, if that ends up being an Elite Eight matchup or something like that, or a Final Four matchup, that'll be the game they remember. They're not going to remember this regular season game in February at the end of the day, just like people aren't going to remember Marquette and Butler in February either. They're going to remember the Marquette tournament games when the season is done, and that's what they'll talk about. And they'll talk about Marcus Howard's big games during the season. From that aspect, you'll talk about the regular season by individual performances. And, oh, I was at this game when Marcus Howard put up 38, or I was at this game when Marcus Howard did that. So that you'll remember. But actual whole games and stuff like that, nobody really ever talks about, you know, whole regular season games come the following summer. It's normally always about conference tournament, NCAA tournament. Those are the games most people talk about.
You just put it to bed till March, lay in your Brooklyn and sheets.
Lay in your Brooklyn and sheets. Exactly right. And see, that's the other thing about this when we start talking about sheets. When it's crappy outside like it is today,
mm-hmm.
and you have a situation where you have freezing rain
mm-hmm.
like it is here in Wisconsin. And then you have the snow mixed into it, and then you find out that, oh, it might start really freezing over later tonight.
Oh.
Nobody wants to be out on the roads. Everybody would rather be at home, maybe comfy and cozied up in their Brooklyn and sheets, watching TV tonight, right? Got your hot beverage, warm beverage, whatever. What's your warm beverage of choice? Is it like coffee? Are you a hot chocolate dude? Like, is there a warm beverage of choice, or do you not drink warm beverages at home at all?
I'm straight coffee. I drink coffee all until about 9 o'clock at night.
Oh,
okay. And then I just lay down and go to bed.
Right off of drinking the coffee?
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. So, yeah. So, if you're baby touch, you have your cup of coffee, you're cozied up in your Brooklyn and sheets, and maybe you're watching Marquette play tonight or North Carolina Duke like Gary is going to be doing tonight, but you want to have the best sheets possible. And Brooklinen are those sheets, and you go to brooklinen.com like I did and get your new sheets. You won't regret it. I promise you. Brooklinen Sheets, named the winner of the best of online betting category by Good Housekeeping. Raving reviews from Business Insider, Apartment Therapy, and Men's Health. 500,000 happy sleepers and counting. And sheets that don't just look great, but they look great and feel great. Plus, you can mix and match over 20 colors and patterns. 30,000 five-star reviews, too. My Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. Now it's time for your upgrade. Brooklinen.com is giving you an exclusive offer just for Big Show listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code Brooklinen.com. Or promo code Steve at Brooklinen.com. There you go. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code Steve at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code Steve. Brooklinen. These really are the best sheets ever.
Live in Phoenix is Adam McCalvey. Full squad workouts underway. We get the latest next. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. Hey, Tausch, Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson with you on the Wendy's Big Show. And now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, it's Adam McCalvey joining the fray. Live from Phoenix, Arizona, in American Family Fields of Phoenix. Adam, first off, I want to congratulate you on your acting debut. That was great work on the Brewers Twitter page.
That was so stupid. It was perfect.
Jeez. Wow, Adam.
It was right up our alley, right?
If you missed it, you can go to 105.7 FM, the Fan's Twitter page, or mine, and I have it pinned right to the top. I thought it was fantastic.
Can I hit Adam with this comment here?
That's why we got him on. Go ahead.
And I think you had this, Adam. Since the Brewers are... I lost it. Let me find it again. hold on. You had this tweet out. I believe it was you, Adam. And I think you were talking about the Brewers are way into record payroll territory, and the question is whether that will be hamstring them from come trade season in July. Mark Antanasio said the chips are all in now. We'll find the money at midseason if we need to. I guess my question is to that doesn't mean they're not going to be doing anything right now, is it?
I would be extremely shocked if they do anything significant, and Craig Counsell said that as much the other morning, that his expectation is that, you know, their significant ads are done. And look, it's always hard.
So here's what, let me hold tight. So here's what we're talking about today. Would you rather have Keuchel or Kimbrel?
Yeah.
Would you say neither one of those moves happened because of what you know?
Yeah, that's what I would say.
Because, would you say Grandal would have happened?
No, but I had no idea Grandal was going to be signed for 1 year.
But $17 million at 1 year. So what if Kimbrel's 1 year at $15 million?
That's interesting, actually.
Right, because that's what we were talking about. If they could get one of these guys, like on a cheap, well, I shouldn't say cheap, relatively cheap deal,
short deal,
at what they want, we think that could happen.
I mean, I would. You can't say never, because I think Sparky make a good point. None of us saw Yasmani Grandal coming, so I can't say no. I will just say that what I know is that they do not expect to be able to make more significant moves. And it's, you know, what I was going to say is it's hard in baseball because in the other sports there's sort of like hard caps where you know you can do the math, and in baseball it's kind of unlimited, but it's not unlimited in reality. And the hard part is these teams are definitely making money. They talk about being payroll tight, and that doesn't resonate with fans because we all know that these are all smart businessmen and they're not going to do this and lose a ton of money every year. But, you know, Mark Antanasio pointed out yesterday, think about the expenditures that they've made in the last 2 years. And it's Lorenzo Cain, it's Yelich, these guys that they brought in this year, it's $65 million for a new spring training facility, $20 million for that Miller Park stuff that happened a lot behind the scenes, the food service stuff, but that's big time money. They bought a minor league team. They built a new complex in the Dominican Republic. Those are all things that are part of running the business that don't show up in the payroll number. And that's in the last, like, less than 2 years, I think all those things happened. Those have been some expenditures. So there is a limit, even though there's not a hard limit. And I think they're getting there. And look, you want, if you're a fan, I mean, I think you want them to have some flexibility because you know, you build the best team you can, but then sometimes you can't anticipate needs and you want to have a little bit of flexibility in the season to go out and get somebody. And that's why, for all of those reasons, I don't see Keuchel happening. Although, again, you make a good point on a one-year deal in this weird market. Right. It's really hard to say ain't happening.
Right.
See, and to me, this is the thing. Look, coming into this thing, whenever somebody would ask on Twitter or social media to you or Tom Hardicourt or whatever, well, could they get this guy? Well, could they get that guy? And the answer was always no. Look what their opening day payroll was last year. Well, how do you think they're going to be able to afford that? And now all of a sudden, you're like $20 million higher than anybody thought they were going to be. And nobody knows what the final number is for Mark at this point. And the one game changer for me, Adam, is that they now control all their revenue coming in on those clubhouse sales, where before they didn't. They get to set their own pricing. They get to do everything. And I'm a firm believer that Mark, at some point, goes to Rick Schlesinger and says, look, all in, if we go win this thing, what's the best case scenario of how much we're going to bring in through that outlet? How much? And then whatever that number is, Mark plugs into whatever formula he has and says, okay, this is high as we can go without losing money in a best case scenario. And then that's where the top end is. Now, is that top end 150? Is that top end where they are now? Is it 140? I don't think anybody knows that other than Mark and Rick at this point. And then to the point of Counsell, well, I mean, with all due respect, Doug didn't know what Mark was doing half the time. So for Counsell to have any idea, you just don't know, because it could be a call tomorrow morning from Scott Boras going, we're not getting what we want. We want to put him back out in the market. What would you say about a one-year deal at $20 million or whatever the case may be? And then Mark has to swallow hard and figure out whether or not it's worth it.
No, look, and you can't rule that out because there have been instances in the past where that particular agent and this particular owner have come together on deals. All I can do when I get asked a question is sort of answer to the best of my knowledge, because, you know, you're right that none of us except a very, very small number of people, probably just the one, Mark himself, know how far he really, really is willing to go in the end.
Right.
But, you know, I've heard it kind of said this way too. When teams and owners can get into trouble where they go really, really, really all in, and then you don't win, and you A, put yourself in a bad position for your future, and then you B, you get yourself soured on the whole process and you become kind of a bitter owner. And there's a danger in that. As fun, you know, I think as fun as it is to strike the deal when you make it, it can really hurt you, you know, literally and emotionally down the line. And it's been explained to me by people who've been in baseball a long time, who've seen that happen, that that can be a very bad thing too. So they've always tried to run this in a sustainable way. That's the boring line that they always give. And I really think they're trying to do that. And I maybe it's naivete. I believe that they are pushing. They're at least pushing towards the limits of what they can do and have it be sustainable.
I have always said I just
no,
want.
Can I add one.
Yeah.
I was going to add one thing to that too. The other thing Mark said yesterday that I thought was good was the Rodney Dangerfield line.
Yeah,
know,
I brought that up earlier.
After their pitching.
Yep.
You know, part of that is like if you get a guy for your rotation, those innings come from somewhere. And, you know, what's the plus minus on Corbin Burns taking those starts or Woodruff or Peralta? I don't know. I mean, that's part of the equation, too, is that they like the guys they have better than maybe those of us outside do. And they've been sort of right about a lot of them far in recent years. And I think that's part of it, too, is that they feel like they can cover the innings that they need in that way.
You talk about Keuchel and that angle of it, but what about Kimbrel and what he does to the backside of this bullpen? Well,
yeah,
you're four deep then.
Yeah. You know, I'd also like 1957 Warren Spahn.
Oh, you're saying Kimbrel's done then.
Well, I mean, Bryce Harper would look really good in Brewers uniform too.
Yeah, you damn
yeah,
right
he would.
So, yep. Yeah, so, you damn right he would.
Love it.
You know, and I get this because you know, we've been there and I'm there every year, and we do hear this sustainable stuff. I mean, every time you talk to Davidson, that word comes
that you don't put yourself in a position where you have to make baseball decisions, where you have to make baseball decisions you don't want to make because of money. And I think there are teams that are in that position where they just have so many financial responsibilities to guys who aren't contributing anymore that it stops them from getting guys that they think they can help. So they want to leave them. It's flexibility is the buzzword in baseball, and it's payroll flexibility. It's flexibility to make in-season moves. It's flexibility to have depth, meaning you have players you can option to the minor leagues and sort of stash because you don't need 25 guys, you need 40 or 50. It's flexibility to bring guys back and forth to the minors during the season. It's all those areas of flexibility of roster. Because I still think we all get caught up in the idea of an opening day roster being the team. And it really is. That's not the team. It's not. It's 40 guys. It's 50, last year. It's more than 50 guys that you need to get through a year. And all of those guys, the nature of this game with so many baseball games on an everyday basis over the course of 6 months, you need all of those players to do it. And they're not all Dallas Keuchels and Bryce Harpers. There's Freddie Peralta coming up on Mother's Day and winning you a game. And there's Mike Moustakas coming in late and really not doing much at the plate, but he won you a division series game to get your postseason runoff right. So they think of things much more in the bigger picture like that than we do, where we think about who's on the 25-man roster on opening day.
You're right.
That is the difference between them and me. Now, having said that, what is the biggest weakness of this roster right now?
I like that. That's a good question. I would have said offense. I think Moustakas, it wasn't peak Moustakas in a Brewers uniform, but if you get the slug that he's capable of, and you look at what they can do against right-handed pitchers in a division that's like overwhelmingly right-handed starters, they are going to be a very dangerous offense. So I think they address probably the weakness offensively. I mean, look, it's on paper, it's probably what's going to be pointed to is the starting pitching, because they just don't have the dude at the top of the rotation that other really good teams have. So they're doing it with Chacin. They've got, Jimmy Nelson. We just talked to him again a couple of minutes ago. He's not rehabbing anymore. He's pitching. So you figure he's going to be a part of it. And once the hitters get in there, you can start measuring what sort of Jimmy Nelson you have. All those young guys, it's Anderson and Davies. It's a collection of guys that performed well, I think top third in baseball last year in starting pitching. But because it's not the names, I think if you're going to point to a weakness, that's probably it, and they're going to try to prove me wrong. Once the season gets going.
So what does that was my next question? What does Jimmy Nelson look like right now? It's only been a couple of days, but what?
He looks like he's throwing bullpen. I asked Kirk Counsell.
Yeah, what's the process? So he's bullpen right now.
Bullpen right now. He's going to throw again on Friday. He's not sure whether that's going to be the hitters or another pen. I asked Kirk Counsell, like, at what point you start getting measurements on them. They have, obviously, the radar gun. They have all these other devices, TrackMan and Rapsodo, and these high-speed cameras where they can measure beyond velocity, the spin, all the other elements to see whether this is the same Jimmy Nelson as you had in 2017 when he was pretty darn good and about to go over 200 strikeouts for a season. The answer to that is it's a ways away before they start kind of thinking about those things. Because this is just a build-up-your-arm period. Today hitters were in there against pitchers for the very first time. The pitchers always look like they're, Cy Young, because guys haven't seen a live pitch for 3-4 months, whatever it is. And we're a little early to start evaluating what you have in Jimmy Nelson. But look, once he gets – we talked to him afterwards, and he really wants feedback from the hitters. He tells the guy – please treat this competitively. Don't, a lot of hitters go in there and track. He really wants them to swing and then to give feedback after the session about, what it looked like. He wants everything to be a competition. That's how he is. So he said he was wishing there was more games they could play or wagers they could put on things and try to make it competitive, because that's the way he looks at everything.
Well, they'll find enough wagers out on the golf course right around the sixth inning of the games. Right, Adam?
it's insane. I'm not going to complain about the weather, but it's not warm out here.
Yeah, it wasn't warm last time we were there.
No, it's not. No, I don't think we're touching 60 for the
what?
Next.
What are we talking here?
It's in the 50s. I mean, in the morning, you come out in the morning, it's in the 30s. They've been pushing their warm-ups. Or their practices later because the fields are frosted.
Well, we'll bring the warm weather when we get out there coming up second week of March, Adam. All right, appreciate the time, man.
To get those guys on the golf course, they got to get their core workouts in.
That's right. We got to get the hip rotations and the obliques stretched out on the golf course.
One of the cool things about this outside the clubhouse is they have this installation with all the uniform numbers. And right where we stand and wait to get into Council's office is number 57, which is obviously K-Rod and Chase Anderson. But the best name on that is Joe Winklesass.
Joe Winklesass, didn't he used to do Bible scripture readings in the parking lot back in the day?
I think he did, but what I really remember him for is being a garbage man in the office.
Yep.
And he talked about how it was a great core workout because wherever he lived, it wasn't automated like a lot of the places are. So he actually had to dump the garbage cans into the thing, and he said it was a great core workout. So instead of golf to get those obliques warmed up, he was a garbage man. So we were reminded of that pretty much every morning.
Well, we're going to have 2/3 of our daily shows with Bill Michaels and Gary and I out there. Well, we can pick up some trash around American Family Fields of Phoenix. We want to make sure we keep it nice and tidy, the new $67 million complex. We're givers, Adam. That's what we are. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Yeah. See ya.
That's Adam McCalvey on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. Bill Michaels, Gary Ellerson, myself, Baby Tausch, Jeff Orlowski,
the pipe bomb,
Tim Allen, the franchise, all going out to Phoenix, Arizona. And for like a week and a half, we are going to have the best Brewers coverage in the, like, there's nowhere in the city you're going to get more interviews, sound, video,
so let me see if I got this right.
Pictures, all of us in Arizona. It's going to be insane.
So let me see if I got this right. So Bill Michaels will be out there doing his statewide show from 10 to 2.
Yes.
Then you and Gary will be out there doing your portion of the big show from 2 to 6.
Same booth, right in Maryvale, right. Baseball. Or then, American Family Fields of Phoenix Park.
Yeah,
sorry.
Right. Then, after that's done, then you and Tim Allen will do a hot stove show every night from 6 to 8.
Yes, sir.
So it will be live from Phoenix from 10 in the morning till 8 at night.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Here and only on The Fan.
Here and only on 105.7 FM, The Fan, and 1250 AM.
Sweet. And you guys will be dressed just as warm as I am.
You see how he threw that little dagger in there? Sparky, that day off really, that he got edgy
energized.
That day off.
Energized him.
He got a little edgy on the day off.
Crazy Sparky, bad Sparky, mean Sparky, came back.
What's that deep sigh for?
Because that's exactly what happened.
He knows it. And Phil Yates had some just little pointers that I think people on Twitter and, you know, in the mentions were able to figure out. Antonio Brown makes too much sense. More next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.